Good to see all of you here tonight. Glad that you had the opportunity to be with us today. Continue in prayer for those that are traveling on vacation. Now, some are traveling back even today on their way back, so keep them in prayer and safety. My wife and I was coming back Friday night. We saw no less than 10 different accidents on I-95 from the 295 loop at Jacksonville North to the 295 loop south. There was that many accidents just in that stretch. I don't know if that's 20, 25 miles, maybe give or take, but that was a lot of accidents. And so be in prayer for people as they travel, that they'll be safe, keep their eyes on the road, stay awake, and don't be texting and driving for sure. So, you know, it'd be a sad thing. You go on vacation, get rested up, regenerated, and on the way back, go off into eternity. And it happens a lot. That last few miles, boy, you're looking to get home. So be in prayer for them that they, as they travel. And then those that are sick, of course. When I was, my wife and I was up in Pigeon Forge, we went to the Comedy Barn. And it was a real, real unique situation. I told my wife, I was on the front row. And I told my wife, I said, look, they done picked me last night at the Dixie Stampede to get out there in that sand. If they pick me again tonight, something's up. And lo and behold, they picked me. So next week, I have a video that I'm going to show you what they did to me. Yeah, I'm going to save it to next week because I can't bear to laugh no more. I'm telling you, I laughed at myself and laughed at myself and laughed at myself. So that was a good experience. I really enjoyed it. I did not enjoy Gatlinburg at all. I did enjoy Pigeon Forge. Gatlinburg just too crowded. Too crowded a place. And Stone Mountain I enjoyed. That was a unique place. I don't know if you've ever been to Stone Mountain, but it's not really a mountain. It's just a big old rock sitting there in the, out of the ground. And you'll enjoy it if you get to go and spend some time there. But be in prayer for those. Pastor Kahn said this about preaching. He said, it is just as much a sin for the man of God to pass over a portion of Scripture because of the context as it is to abuse a portion of Scripture for the context. So I say that tonight because it is at a point in our verse by verse, chapter by chapter, portions of Scripture that we're going to cover a difficult subject tonight. Now I want you to know I love you. I'm on your side. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time dealing with this in Mark chapter 10 is where we're going to start, verse 1. But it is where we're at. And so we do have to go through it. We do have to see it. It is biblical truth. So if you have experienced this or know someone that has experienced this, I am not riding their back tonight. I'm just simply being faithful to preach verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the book like we started. So now my son, my oldest son, has experienced this twice already in his life. I love it. I do not agree with it. I'm talking about divorce. I love him. He's welcome at my home. If they move down here, he's saved. He's baptized. He'd be welcome to be a member here at our church. I wouldn't shun him. It's not something like that. But it is a biblical truth that is covered in Scripture about the subject and title, and Jesus himself is speaking on it. So I don't want you to be thinking that I'm picking on anybody tonight. It is something that many of us have family members and ourselves have gone through. It just simply is a fact where we are. But nonetheless, we're going to cover it as gentle as we can and allow God to teach us through this. Now, if you've already been through a divorce and you're remarried, you stay faithful. Stay at it. Love each other. Go on. Be used of God. Be used of God mightily. One of my closest friends in Leesville, Louisiana, was the most faithfulest bus driver I had ever met. Both he and his wife had both been divorced previously and remarried to each other, but faithful, loved God, loved each other. George Ochoa, I'll never forget him. Just love the Lord. So it is part of life, but we're going to cover it from a biblical stance because we have young folks here that are not married, have not married, and so what we want to do is make them think long and hard before they jump into something because divorce hurts, leaves pain, scars, baggage. So we try to prevent that by covering this. So let's go to Mark chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. Mark chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. The Bible says in verse 1, Mark chapter 10, "And he arose from thence and cometh unto the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Tempting him. And he answered and said unto them, What did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness, or because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. Verse 6, But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female for this cause. Because they're male and female, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And in the house his disciples ask him again of the same matter. And he saith unto them, Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and marry another, she committeth adultery." Preacher, why aren't you being so gentle with this? Because that's how Jesus met the woman at the well. Gentle. He questioned her about her marital status and said, you had five, but now you're just living together. He recognized all five of them. Study the passage there, John, he did. He wasn't mean, wasn't hateful, wasn't condescending. Doesn't make me a better person because my wife and I have stayed together. What good stands before you is only by the grace of God. What good's in you is by the grace of God. But you see the heart here of the Lord Jesus Christ. His heart was to teach people. They resorted. And they came to it. And once again, it says there, he taught them again. So it was the Lord's heart. Now this chapter begins his final journey as he heads up to Jerusalem. He's on the pathway through Perea on the other side of Jordan. At this particular time, the cross was only a short time away, just a short distance at this particular time. And the people came together. And he began to teach them. But of course, the Pharisees, they came to ask about a subject that was meant to get him in trouble. What was the whole topic and problem that caused John the Baptist to lose his head? Telling the king it wasn't lawful for him to have his brother's wife. The whole topic caused her heartache, her difficulty, her troubles to eventually work her web of deceit and wickedness. To ask for the head of John the Baptist was the subject of marriage. They knew what they were doing. I think that they came as they come to tempt him, to, they brought this question and think, hey, well, John the Baptist done, but he's gone. We're done with him. Maybe we can get his head taken off. And they didn't get the response that they were hoping for. He simply asked them a question. In verse 3, he asked them, what did Moses command? Verse 3 says, and he answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered. Well, wait a minute. Jesus understood this. Jesus understood that God instituted marriage. Jesus already knew that. He wanted them to get to the point to figure out where they got this idea from. It came from man. Well, you say, Pastor, it's written in the Word of God. It's written there, but it wasn't God's plan. That was exactly what Moses had said, and Jesus covered that. He said he did, yeah. He said, write a bill of divorcement. There, matter of fact, go to Deuteronomy chapter 24 so we can see it. Deuteronomy 24. Their answer was based off of Moses, off of man's opinion. That's why I'm very careful when I take stuff from commentaries and look at it comparative. If it seems to be some kind of contradiction, I prefer to take Scripture over any of man's thoughts. And that's why Jesus said, well, in the beginning it wasn't so. In Deuteronomy 24, verse 1, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes. Well, how soon could that be? Pretty fast. Because he had found some uncleanness in her. Well, okay, she didn't pick her teeth and she didn't floss. Then let him write her a bill of divorcement, given in her hand, and send her out of his house. When she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her, and write her a bill of divorcement, giveth in her hand, send her out in his house. Or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that she is defiled, for that is abomination before God. And thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. So this is the passage that they go back to. What Moses said, just give them a letter of divorcement. Well, there in verse 5, Jesus answered and said, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But God's okay with it. That's what he said, right? No. He said, from the beginning, this wasn't God's plan. From the beginning, this was not so. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father's mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, so that they are no more twain but one flesh. And what therefore God have joined together, let no man put asunder. I think we need to be very careful as we go into marriage that we do not look into the precedent that's been set here in the last 60 years. But go back to creation. God's plan. That's where we need to be at. We need to stay with God's plan. You know, and Moses was a man, and he led these folks. A meek man. Led with meekness. But at one point, he got so upset at them that he just struck a rock and caused him not to even see the promised land. Why? Because he had done struck the rock once. And that God said, speak to the rock. It was God's way of doing it. See, we got to understand something, that there is God's way, and then there's man's way. And man's way never, ever supersedes or usurps God's way, no matter how convenient it is. I'll be honest with you, there's been times that I'm telling you that my wife would have probably been better off if she just went on about her way and let me be. But that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was to stay there, stay through it, and work through it. And it's a subject that we need to be more emphasized on the marriage and staying marriage than the divorcement. Sometimes we emphasize and we look at the negative part. I'm not trying to be negative towards it tonight if you've been through a divorce. I'm really not. We need to emphasize what is important. That's the marriage. And the marriage is what Jesus wanted them to understand. Now, why did they come to him with this question? To tempt him. To cause heartache, to cause problems, to cause difficulty, hopefully to get rid of him. Now, parents are to be left so that the husband can cleave unto his wife. Now, that's another problem that, you know, that we have. You know, we're not spending too much time. We done told you God's way. God said from the beginning. Jesus is God, manifest in flesh. He said from the beginning. It wasn't so. So that's not God's plan. So if you're married, let's work at staying married. Put work and effort into it. Though it may not be comfortable, though it may not be your desire, please allow God to work in and through you and just stay with it and stay at it. I know there's preachers that will tell you just go ahead and get a divorce. But I can't in light of these scriptures. I can't. Just stay with it. Stay at it. Stay faithful. And say this, if he's harming you, or she's harming you, seek help. You don't have to stay in an abusive situation. Seek help. Seek help through friends, family. And if you have to, call the law on that joker. He shouldn't put his hands on it. He shouldn't be abused. There's a good helping place uptown that they will not even help ladies who say that they need help to find escape unless they're willing to actually call the law on their spouse because they done been through it. They help you out and you go right back to it. Now, men, we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. You put your hands on, neither one of us should be putting our hands on each other. None. So I'm not telling you as a wife to sit here and say, well, Pastor said I need to stay in an abusive situation. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying let's work through it. Let's stay with it. Let's let God work. And I do say this about marriage, that if there's if you're separated and there's a third party gets involved, it's a lost situation almost. Just because you get separated doesn't give you a license to go find somebody else either. Work at it. Stay at it. Prayer. Fasting. Seeking God's face. And staying at it. But sometimes, young people, we allow our parents to overstep their bounds into our marriage. A man is to lead his father and mother, Cleveland, his wife, and they become flesh, one flesh. And as a parent who has seen children and have children that have married, it is a difficult thing sometimes to stand back and let grown children do what grown children are going to do when you know it's going to hurt them. But that's what you do. Love them. Love them. Welcome them to your home as long as they're not being ungodly in your home. You know, and bringing wickedness into your home. And if they are, then there's a time you got to have a talk with them and say, no, you can't do that here. Sorry, we're going to honor God here. And you said, just stay focused on honoring God. The whole thing is that we need to honor God with what we're doing. And so they wanted to tempt him, and he went on and told them from the beginning it wasn't so. He said, parents, or to get out of the way, let children. There was no provision for man to marry man. Let's cover that. We're going back to the beginning. I know today it's acceptable. No provision in the scriptures for women to marry women. I know it's acceptable in society, but in God's plan, it's not. It's still God's way right here is what we're saying. We're seeing the mind of Christ, the mind of God on marriage, and that's what we're looking at. And marriage makes two, one flesh. That means that the husband's body becomes the wife's body becomes, they submit one to another under the leadership and headship of the husband, under Christ, and all that that goes with it. You know, so Jesus, whenever he's asked and questioned about this, what he actually does here is renew or restores the original intent of marriage in the eyes of the nation of Israel. You see how Moses said it? But God said, stay together. One man. So it's kind of like with grace. You know, God said, you know, if you look upon a woman and lust at her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Grace tightens it up. It really tightens things, like it just ratchets it down. So under grace, it's actually a little bit tighter, isn't it? Because under the law, Moses' law said, just, if she displeases you, well, I dare say that some of you may have been displeased by your wife this week. Maybe not, but it's probably a good chance that somebody in here was displeased. That's really an open-ended situation, ain't it? So that's why with grace and the grace of the Lord Jesus. Well, how can you? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthen me. Young people, when you get to looking at this age and you're going into this direction of making the decision of marriage, look at it forever. That should be your thought. Look at it forever. So, well, my mom and dad got divorced when I was five. There's no license to go ahead and do it because mom and dad did it. Mom and dad aren't faithful. That you're now one flesh, responsible to God. My mom and my dad, once I got married to my wife and I moved out of the house and we was one flesh, we were one accountable to God. Remove the umbrella of my mom and dad from me. Now we are responsible. My grown children, as long as they are living in my home and honoring and respecting me and doing what things I ask and things that I believe the Scripture says, they're welcome to stay inside my home. But if they choose to do things that are not according to what Scripture says, and like, man, it's time to get on out. Do your own thing. I'm going to love you. Care for you. I'm going to have you over for supper. Take you fishing. Go shopping with you, have you home for Christmas and Thanksgiving. Doesn't mean I don't love you. It means God's first. And in the same way with God's first in the children, God has to be first with the husband and wife. And so Jesus restores the original intent of marriage even here after Moses. The rule of first mention. When studying Scripture, the rule of first mention, that's a good way to interpret things. Go back, find how it was used first in Scripture. Like, as you study through Scripture, you go back and you say, wow, I wonder what this really... Well, go back to the first mention of how God used that. And as the rule, and see how... Well, you go back to the rule of first mention of marriage. We have an obvious declaration from God of how it should have been. Now, it's an amazing thing that God uses men, isn't it? And women. It is. Through Scripture, you can find God using lost people. He used lost kings many times and recorded down exactly what they said and what they did. That's what he did with Moses. He recorded down what Moses... Nowhere in that portion of Scripture did Jesus say, okay, what did God and Moses, what did God tell Moses to write down? He didn't say, he said, what did Moses, he's very clear, isn't he? What did Moses say? What did Moses say? And Jesus said, and he followed up, and then he said, but from the beginning, God. And that's where we got to be. Got to be. Now listen, folks, if you're still married, to the same one that you said I do to the first time, don't stick your nose up to those that have had divorce. Love them. Because we got our own beams sticking out our own eyes. We ain't no better off. Not. But I do ask you folks that have been divorced and remarried, if opportunity provides itself with some of our young kids and young ones, talk to them. Let them know the heartache. That it's okay to put the brakes on. Because flesh will lead you astray. Okay? Give them your testimony of grace. Because listen, if you're saved and you got divorced and remarried, you're serving God still today. You're a trophy of grace. You are. It's God's grace all on you. Because a lot of divorced folks, they get so embarrassed, they won't even come and be a part of it. You know? God loves you. We love you. We definitely do. But from the beginning, it wasn't something that was so. And so we want to teach our children God's way. And those that are coming up. And those that have been brought up in the house of God. You know, Jesus, they resorted to Jesus to be taught. And that's what we need to do. Teach people. Teach them how to act. What they're looking at. You know, and when people are getting married, that's why I spend a little time talking with them for 5-6 weeks or so, trying to get into their mind and let them see that, you know, this is a big decision. This ain't like buying a new purse. Not in God's eyes. This ain't like going to put something on layaway down at Walmart. This is serious business when you say I do in the sight of God. Serious business. It is. Now again, I love you. And this wasn't meant to hurt anybody. It's just simply Bible. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the scriptures, Lord. Though they be tough and hard and sharp and prickly sometimes, we see your grace in it. We thank you for your help. God, I just pray that those that are contemplating marriage and looking into marriage, that they will understand for your plan. It's to be one flesh. And Lord, for those that have gone through the heartache and breakup and the element of divorce in their life, I pray that you would pour balm of Gilead upon their heart tonight if they feel hurt or downtrodden tonight, because that was not our intent. May the Holy Ghost of God comfort them and love them and let them know that we care for them and continue to use them in our church body. And Lord, help us as we go along, as other ones no doubt will come into our midst that have gone through this, that we will love them and give them the opportunity to serve just as these that are here do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, choir, come on up.